I do know, though, that I don't know what time it is. I think it's on Pentecost. The church in Lincoln was over here, and they'd have a parade to the corner around there. And here was my grandfolks' farm, and my grandfolks would have an altar, 2x4s, you know, and white sheets over it, and the priest would relax there.
Okay, and what about the altar at your grandfather's house?
The priest would carry the monstrance around the entire section, starting at the church and go to the corner, and somebody would have an altar set up there, so he would rest, and because they carried that monstrance up kind of high. Mm. And they'd say some prayers there. Then he'd go to the next corner of the section, and there would be another altar set up there, and some more prayers. And then at my grandma Noel's corner, there, I remember seeing that altar there, and he'd set down the monstrance and say some more prayers there. Then on the other mile to the other corner and back to the church.
How are the altars set up?
Oh, just a little thing with 2x4s, framework, you know, and then sheets over it tacked.
So it was something that the farmers themselves made?
Yes.
It wasn't
actual. Yes, my grandmother would make that and set up that one.
That was
my grandfather.
Pentecost.
Yeah.
Now, what were the things that were carried around?
Well, that's the monstrance with the host.
Remember
that
communion.
Fancy monstrance that they have? First missionary that came to this location, Marquette, was it? His monstrance is at our library. It was silver at that time. It has a little window in it, and they set the host, the bread.
I see.
Consecrated bread. Yeah. Not consecrated, blessed, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's what they call the monstrance.
Yeah.
But these things have so changed in our church, too. When I used to serve Mass at the chapel, we had Father Skeevers there. He just died a couple of years ago. From there, they were out of money at the chapel. So from there, he went to Manisteken, who was a priest there, and built a nice church there. He just died a couple of years ago. So he's buried here with the White Fathers at the Abbey. But we couldn't touch the chalice. We couldn't touch the monstrance. You couldn't touch anything.
You think these are good or bad changes?
Oh, I guess it's all right. There's nothing. So the chalice is what he drinks wine from, so it's just a chalice.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my wife and I have bought several of them and gave them in remembrance of our parents or our relatives, you see, engraved on the bottom.
I see.
It costs about 55 and up.
Saturday or Sunday night.
Why do you think they change it so that the people couldn't touch it? Why would they?
Now the servers bring out all that stuff, all the utensils. See, we kids as servers at that time, they wouldn't allow us to touch them.
I see.
Because it's holy articles, I suppose. I don't know.
Do you think that the people, there was any real harm to the souls or the faith of the people who went to Velat's church?
I don't think so, because he could give a sermon that they understood. But it's odd to us people that Belgians were at one time 100% Catholic, as I said before.
Yeah. And he was something called Old Catholic, right?
Right, Episcopal, that's what they called Old Catholic. The Polish had something like that happen, too. And there was some newspaper. It was a newspaper against Catholics circulated years ago. It was barred from the post office later on, but when I was working at Denmark for Enns Brothers, we had the post office in our store. The Menace, they called it. Oh, it would do and ridicule the Catholic faith and everything else.
Hmm. And who did it? Who was that done by?
I don't know who the publisher was, but there was quite a few of the Polish in Pulaski that fell away from the church, and they have what they call the National Church there too. And they have a minister there. It's supposed to be Episcopal. They always call those Episcopal churches Old Catholic, because their services are the same, you know. And I've been to funerals at the Blessed Sacrament Church there on North Webster, which was started by Villotte. And priest vestments are the same, the mass is the same, servers are the same, everything is the same, excepting they said the mass in English, whereby the Roman Catholics, the priest said the mass in Latin, which was not only national, but it was universal. You could go to China and go to a Catholic church and you got the same, you got the same mass, or you go to Russia or Africa, no matter where in the world you went, you had the same mass. It was always in Latin. So now they've got now they say the mass in whatever tongue the neighborhood is in. You know, like here it's in the United States, it's English. But you go in France and it's in French now. It's not in Latin anymore.
What other differences are there between the Catholic and the Episcopal Church?
Well, they didn't, I don't think that the, I think the Episcopals did not support the Pope.
Oh, I see.
But the Catholics are of the opinion that there is a head to everything. There is a head to the United States. There's a head in even a paper mill. So there should be a head to the faith. That's their faith. That's their belief. Yeah. Not paper. You don't believe that, though. But I noticed in the last number of years that they refer to other denominations refer to the Pope many, many, many times.
Yeah.
He's not infallible, of course. We know that. We're not stupid enough to believe that. We're stupid, but not that.
What about other changes that have taken place in the church? What good and bad changes do you see?
Well, there's been a lot of changes. There's much less praying in our church now and more singing.
Do you like that? Do you think that's good or bad?
Well, I don't enjoy it. I was brought up praying, you know. In fact, my wife and I say a rosary every morning. You've heard the saying that them that pray together live together, haven't you?
Yeah, I've heard
they
that.
Don't pray together anymore and they're divorcing all the time.
Do you remember saying any prayers in Walloon when you were young?
No, it was always French.
You didn't speak Walloon in your family?
Sure, we spoke Walloon, but there was no print in Walloon.
But did your family say any prayers together at...
In French, yes, sure. They'd say the rosary. Oh, sure, prayers.
Do you remember how that went in French?
Sure.
Could you say it?
Well, I can say the last part of the Holy Mary. Sainte Marie, Mère de Dieu, prie pour nous pauvres pécheurs, maintenant et à l'heure de notre mort. That means Sainte Marie, that's Saint Mary, or Holy Mary. Prie pour nous, that means pray for us.
Did you say, have any prayers that you said before meals?
Sure, but I don't remember them.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yes, they were a lonely set, you know, come here, leave their friends and relatives in Belgium, like the Germans and everybody else did. Yeah. They weren't the only ones, you know. Mm-hmm. They take around Kiel and in there, that's all Germans, and that was the same thing. They were lonely there, too. Yeah. You leave all your friends and your relatives and come here, and it's nothing but woods. Got something. I think I told you that joke about the one Belgian says, Pierre, on a millionaire. That means, Peter, we're millionaires.
Oh, yeah?
Looking up at the big virgin timbers, you know. Poor foolish Belgians didn't realize at that time that they had to work like the dickens to cut down all that virgin timber in order to have a spot of land so that they could sow a little wheat in and plant a little corn.
I found out soon enough, I suppose.
Sure.
Do you remember any?
They thought, you know, when they left Europe, the lumber was short. You know, the woods were, there were not so much woods left anymore. It was all cut down. So they thought they'd sell this lumber, you know, and become millionaires. And they couldn't sell it.
They ended up making shingles.
Yes, and they would make all those trees fall towards one pile, you know. When they cut it down, they'd all fall towards one pile. And on a calm day when there'd be absolutely no wind, you know, and then they'd set the thing afire.
Hmm.
What else could they do with it?
Get rid of it, right?
Sure, you can't burn all that for wood stove. Oh, it was tough.
Do you remember any of the songs, the Walloon songs that were sang by the Belgian band or anything? Any of the words?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's too bad.
And I can't sing anyway, so.
Oh, I bet you could.
I can eat Belgian pie, but I can't sing. I wish I had some, too.
Yeah, me too.
Sometimes you can buy some, but very seldom. I know when. See, our feast at Rose Eyre was on the second Sunday in September. But then it was lately when we go, when we drive there, we come back through Champion, and they have the Kermis at the same time, and there you can get a meal. But at Rose Eyre, they quit serving meals, but at Champion they still make a big thing of it. And then you get some Belgian pie on the table. And, and a couple of times I was able to buy some. A few years ago I bought some at Rose Eyre. The Altar Society made pies and they were selling them to people like us that came from the town, from cities, you know, or anybody else who wanted to buy some.
Do you remember the spiritualists when you were young? Being around in the area?
Yes, sure. One of our bank directors was a spiritualist, Joe Francis. He used to own the Truckman Hardware Store on Main and St. George. And I remember that little wooden church, too.
Where was that?
It stood on the southeast corner of Madison and Cherry. Kitty corner from the Episcopal Church. And it had a half arm on it like this, on the cupola, with a finger pointing towards heaven.
That was made out of wood?
Yeah. But their church now is, it's on the corner, on the southeast corner of Webster and Pine Street now. But there's only a couple families. I used to insure that. I couldn't insure ours, but I could insure the spiritualists.
Yeah. Do you remember how that religion started in the area?
No, I don't.
Huh.
I remember it was Mrs. Dorzager, and she come from Little Sturgeon.
Oh, and she went, she started.
She was the minister.
Oh, really? What sort of things went on in that church?
Well, I don't know what went on in the church. I never went to any of their services, but I was going to go, I did go to some of their dinners. But I don't know what their services consist of.
Do you remember hearing anything about it?
Oh,
what
did people say? They used to say that they'd make tables rise and all that kind of stuff. And there was a priest in Milwaukee, he was a brother of our district attorney's wife, Ray Everard's wife. And he belonged to the Knights of Columbus. He says, I'll disclose any of their tricks. And by golly, he did it, too.
What sort of things did he do?
Oh, bones that float in the air, you know, skeletons float in the air.
Oh, he gave a presentation on it?
Yes, yes, at the KC Club Rooms, and anybody could go. And I forget the attorney's name now. I think I told you this, though. The man, this attorney had his vest on and his coat on. And he told the fellow to turn out the lights 5 seconds or something like that, and then turn them back on. And when he turned the light back on, this attorney's vest and coat were on him again, but the vest was turned inside out and buttoned inside and buttoned all the way. You couldn't do that in 15 in 60 seconds. You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that in 2-3 minutes.
So he disclosed the tricks that were done in?
McHale was the attorney. John McHale. He was the attorney that that this priest performed that on.
How do you think he did it?
I don't know.
They never did tell you how
Floating hands in the dark room.
Huh. Then they never did to finally tell you how it was done?
No, no. No, those fellows never tell it. Houdini never told anybody either.
I just thought that maybe they were trying to show you how the spiritualists did it.
No, this priest says he could expose any of their tricks. And he had table rise, too.
Why do you think the Belgian people turned to the spiritualist faith?
That's a big question, too. I wouldn't know.
Was there a lot of falling away from Catholics?
No. In fact, when I assured it, this woman lives in De Pere. She's a spiritualist. She lives in De Pere. And they had to, in order to pay the little premium on that little building, they had to have some doings in order to make the money for that. There's only very few members. I told her, I said, why don't you sell the church? And she says, because some of them, when they died, they left that church anyway. I remember a fellow by the name of Jiggle. He had a little store across from the school over here on Roosevelt, on the corner of Elm and North Irwin. He had a little store there, a fellow by the name of Jiggle. My father used to haul hay for his father across the bay from Little Sturgeon to Menominee, Michigan on ice in the wintertime. And his wife was a spiritualist, and she got him to go into church too. But when he died, he was buried in a Catholic church. He quit that before, and I think she was too. I'm not sure about her, though. I'm not sure.
Did the spiritualists have different kind of funeral services than Catholics?
No. Except they don't say the rosary at the funeral home. Mm-hmm. Catholics are cutting that out too.
Oh, are they?
Sure. Sure, it's just a little prayer service now. The rest of the time, talking, visiting, friends they haven't seen in years. That's what funerals are today.
I haven't ever gone to a funeral myself.
You haven't? Well, that's odd, don't you? Did you ever have any relative die?
Only when I was really young.
Oh, you're lucky.
Did you ever think that
there used to be sad things, because in the farming country where they were lonely like that years ago when they first came from Europe, they were a lonesome set. And if one of your neighbors died, gosh, it was just like a member of your own family, you know.
Oh, I suppose.
Everybody turned out. And the women were all dressed in black and black veils. Way down. My aunts, my two aunts, after my grandfather died, my two aunts, Aunt Odile and Aunt Catherine, they couldn't go out, dances or anywhere for 2 years.
2 years.
Darn right, you mourned them days. You mourned your losses.
Weren't there some
people? Even when my first wife died in 21, before the funeral, they had a black crepe band around my left arm on my overcoat. Mm. And they used to put a bow of crepe on your hat.
Black crepe band? That was a symbol.
I still have it.
Oh.
I keep everything.
How long did you have to wear that then, that band and that?
Well, I don't remember. It's supposed to be a year. I don't know whether you wore that. I think I just wore that winter, finished that winter. She died in February.
Huh.
Died on the 22nd, born, buried on the 25th. And they didn't have concrete vaults then, but I bought a steel vault for her. And the ground was frozen on that day. They threw those chunks back down there, you know. That was on Friday. And on Sunday, and on that day, we had no snow up to that time, and on that day, snowed about a foot, And by Sunday, it was all thawed and water all over. We went to the cemetery, water all over. Mm-hmm. On Monday, the sexton came to the bank and told me that my wife had floated out. See, the vault was waterproof, and she came up. The water went down the grave among all those frozen chunks of clay, and she floated up. So he wanted to know what to do about it. I said, well, you're the sexton. He says, we can take her up and clean out the grave or just pump out the water. And I think all he ever did is pump out the water because there's only about 4 or 5 inches of dirt on top of the vault.
Was that because it was in the winter and the ground was?
Well, see, and it thawed, it snowed that day. And then by Sunday, 3 days later, it was
snow all melted
and it ran into that hole because it was frozen chunks of clay, you know.
Yeah, so did they never did bury her any deeper?
No.
I'm just sad?
No.
What did you think about going to church when you were real young? Did you enjoy attending church services?
You didn't have any choice.
But did you enjoy it?
Your mother shined our shoes on Saturday, and for supper we always had a quick supper, so it was either bread and milk or else it was rice pudding or something like that. And so a big kettle of rice pudding, I don't know, there was eggs in it and other things. It didn't taste just like plain rice.
Yeah.
And we had big plates, and we'd lay that thick, you know, and that brown sugar all over it. Oh, good. Or bread and milk. My father and I liked our bread and milk raw, and some of them wanted the milk boiled. So we each had our own. Or my mother would make a stack about a foot and a half high of waffles, and she'd take a big bowl and put some in there, and some of us would put brown sugar in all the holes, you know, and some of them, and my mother take a big bowl and she'd put a lot of waffles in there and pour her milk, boiling milk with sugar in it and cinnamon. She'd pour that over and then they got soggy and soft, but some of the kids liked them that way. But that was for a quick meal on Saturday, so my mother would have time to, you know, there's a lot of kids
get
to take care of.
Get ready to go to church?
Yeah, get ready to go to church. And we didn't ride in style either. We had the buckboard that my folks used to haul the milk to the cheese factory with. And my brother and I would sit on the back end riding backwards, and my dad and mother would be on the front seat with the baby. There's always a baby in every home them days.
Yeah. Was there ever any trouble with the kids acting up in church?
Nowadays they have babies just when they want them.
Yeah.
For their convenience. What did you ask me?
I asked if there was ever any trouble with the kids acting up in church.
Oh, sure, they squeal then like they do now. But we didn't have cry rooms then. Now we have cry rooms.
Did you sit still during the church service when you were about 8 or 9 years old?
I was always quiet, little fatty and quiet.
Did you ever think the church was too strict when you were young?
No. That is just part of your life. You just took it for granted. Never any argument about it.
Yeah.
Nobody divorced them days.
I was going to ask you, I don't know too much about the Depression, so I don't really know what sort of questions to ask you. I don't know, what did you feel about the WPA during the Depression? What did the Belgian community in the area around here think about that?
Well, I was in Great Bay. I was living on Monroe Avenue, Monroe and Walnut then, and I got favors from the WPA. Of course, it put a lot of men to work. I think it was 6 large elm trees. It must have been pretty near 2 feet in diameter. So they were all over 100 years old, and they were commencing to show mushrooms along the roots, and all, so that meant that they were dying. Of course, an elm tree grows for about 35 years and is dormant for 35, I guess, and dies for 35, something like that, I heard. So I know they were all, my big elms were all doomed, so you go to the city hall and give them $1. And the WPA would cut them down.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, they would have cost me $100 a piece to take down.
So did you think it was a good thing? Was it
well,
good
it
for
gave
the United States?
It gave work to some people. I was working at the bank, of course. My salary at that time had gone to $225. And just overnight, my salary was cut to $165 a month from $225. $225 was tops. We were told, we understood from other employees in the same positions that we were in, that we were better paid than they were.
Mm.
At least our cashier believed in paying his help and paying his directors and paying his stockholders, but it wasn't all correct. He should have thought of us a surplus account, because when the banking department comes in here and they got a crazy notion that your note isn't good, you weren't entitled to that much of a loan, they'd liable to tell us, you better get that get the girl in here and pay her note. And by the time they came back in 6 months or so, if that note wasn't out of the files, they had a notation of it. They'd let you know about it and tell you to charge it off. And if you don't have a surplus account, you can't charge it off. We never had enough surplus. So we were the fourth bank in Green Bay to close. But we were the only one that reorganized it. The confidence was in us, and we just went out and did this. All the other banks, the stockholders were assessed for what they had. My wife had 10 shares in McCartney Bank, which is now the West Side Bank, and I paid $1,000 for those for that assessment for her stock.
So what did
and
you do?
Her husband had left her a few shares in the South Side State Bank, which is no longer. The building's still there. And we had to pay that assessment, too.
Hmm. What did you do when the bank closed?
We went out and resold the stock, but nobody was assessed. If you had 10 shares of stock and you wanted to buy another share back, or 2 shares, or 10 shares, okay, here's new stock. You lost your original investment, but you didn't have to double it like they did at the other banks.
So you went back to reorganizing right away?
We reorganized it, sold the stock, and reopened again. The only one of the four that did that.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's now the First Wisconsin.
What was the major change in life during the Depression when it started? What did...
Well, I don't know. Just that things were tough, that's all.
Yeah, that's what you hear.
Of course, people didn't buy them days. They didn't have these carts and go along and throw something in from every shelf that they passed by either. You bought your bare necessities, as flour and sugar and, you know, stuff like that.
Yes, everybody was really conservative.
Yeah, yes. You didn't have all these breakfast foods either. You had oatmeal, and you bought that in bulk. My dad would buy a whole big bag full of oatmeal.
Did your family ever do any fishing when you were still on the farm, along with farming?
No, never. But when my dad hauled hay from Little Sturgeon to Menominee, Michigan, he would drive by some of the people fishing out on the bay, and he'd buy a big grain sack full of or two of herring, or I guess I don't know whether they gave it to him or he bought it. But Green Bay at one time was all, that was good fishing. There was a lot of whitefish way back, 100 years ago. In fact, I read an article where it's a good fertilizer. They would fertilize the land with a layer of whitefish, which is today $1 and some cents a pound. All along Bay Settlement here, that was all.
Huh. Well, how was that herring fixed then when he brought it home? How did you eat it?
Frozen solid.
Frozen, but then how did...
And how do you think we thawed it out? My mother take our big... Everybody had a dishpan. You didn't have sinks.
Yeah.
So you had a dishpan. So my mother would fill that with water and throw the fish in there. And that water would draw the ice out of the fish. They'd be ice-coated. Mm-hmm. The fish would be ice-coated. Yeah. The frost would come out.
And so then how did she cook it?
Fried it.
Was that... Did you eat that very often back then?
Well, no, because my dad didn't haul hay many years, I guess. Anything for a dollar them days, you know. Dollars was hard to get.
Right.
I often wondered. I wish he was living so I'd find out how many dollars he did get for that cold trip. Because those were cold trips. He'd have knitted mittens, and then he had buckskin mittens over those. The buckskin mittens kept the wind from coming through.
How long would that take him?
I don't know. See, that hay was hauled across to Lake Michigan.
Then the loggers
would buy it there and haul it up in the woods wherever they were logging.
Do you mean that it was hauled across the bay? Or?
Yeah.
And it was let off in Menominee, you said?
Yeah. He'd load it up. Jiggles bought hay.
Yeah.
And then the farmers would bring it to Jiggles at Little Sturgeon. Then my dad and a few other farmers, they'd have a caravan. They would take their team there in a long rack, two long poles, and they could pile it up kind of high because on ice and the horses were shod good with new shoes, they could pull an awful heavy load. I think a team or two of horses could pull a house across the ice. My dad was thinking of doing that one time because O'Connell was dying. There was no more, when the logging was through, O'Connell was practically dead. Ashland, too, was the only city in Wisconsin for many years that was dropping in population. Because when they took out the chemical mills there and the lumber mills there, well, then nothing left there. Now in Ashland, I guess they have I don't know what they have there now. Manistique had a paper mill now.
I was going to ask you something about that. No, I forgot. Oh, how long did it take him to haul it over there?
I don't know how long it took him to cross the bay, but they did it in one day, and then they came back the next day.
It's
only a few miles across there, but it's a cold few miles. And towards spring like this, you know, the ice would commence to break, you know, when the water...
Did you ever have any trouble falling through?
One of the farmers lost a team of horses that way.
So a lot of farmers hauled hay across. He wasn't the
only one. Oh, no, no. They'd have a caravan. They'd have a few team of horses.